Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. Tyree Brown is a young woman who survived a car accident that left her paralyzed from the neck down with limited use of her arms and hands. Regaining independence after her injury proved to be difficult for Tyree, with long-term care costs and associated regulations becoming substantial barriers. On this podcast, Dr. Diana Mason, host of this program, speaks with Tyree Brown about her personal journey and with Ani Turner about the policies that could help Tyree and so many people who are disabled or in need of long-term care. Ani Turner is a senior economist with the Center for Elder Care Improvement at Alterum, a nonprofit research and consulting organization that creates and implements solutions to advance health among at-risk and disenfranchised populations. This interview first aired on Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio on July 14th, 2021.
Well, with advances in health science, people suffering serious medical conditions and trauma are able to be saved from the jaws of death, but sometimes only to realize unnecessary barriers to living life fully and as independently as possible. People with disabilities are just like those of us without significant disabilities, or at least ones we know of or aware of, but our policies on long-term care often present barriers to living these full lives. Tyree Brown is a young woman and an artist living in Maryland who knows this all too well. She became paralyzed from the neck down after being in a car accident, and her story illustrates some of the barriers that people with disabilities face, and including many of our older people face, in their fight for independence. And I am really thrilled that Tyree Brown has joined us to share her story. Tyree, thank you so much for coming on to Health Cetera and your patience with me getting this scheduled.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Very good. Very good.
All right. Perfect.
All right. And then joining us as well in this discussion is Ani Turner, who is the senior economist with the Center for Elder Care Improvement at Alterum. Ani, thank you so much as well for joining me today. And maybe you could say a few words about what Alterum is.
My pleasure. Thank you, Diana. Yes, Alterum is a nonprofit health research and consulting organization focused on improving access, quality, and the effectiveness of care for vulnerable populations, ranging from infants and moms to people with mental health and substance use disorders, and as we're talking about today, older people and those who require long-term services and support. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
And let me just say that I heard, Tyree, your story through a webinar that Alterum had. Ani, you weren't on it, but
yes,
one of your colleagues was. And I was really pretty blown away by the whole discussion. I mean, your story, Tyree, is amazing. And I think it illustrates some of the challenges that people face. So why don't we start off with you talking about what happened. So you developed paralysis, or almost total paralysis. You have some use of your upper arms and shoulders. But from a car accident. Tell us what happened, your story about this.
Definitely. Like it was said, I am an artist and was in school ended, and this, you know, summer vacation, and we had a church picnic, and we were on our way to it. And we were driving, and nothing, it just was a really clear, beautiful day. And out of nowhere, our car just started to shake and just, you know, been out of control. And the thing I know, I'm in the ambulance, and they're asking for my name, and I don't know what's going on. So I broke my neck, and I received what is called incomplete spinal cord injury. And what that is we know that the spinal cord is in charge of sending signals from your brain to the rest of your body to tell it what to do. For me, I have a bruised spinal cord injury, so some signals get through and some don't. Mm-hmm. So for me, that meant not being able to use my hands, not being able to walk, and not being able to sit up on my own initially. As time went on, I hope you can hear me.
Yes, you're good.
Yes. as time went on, I was able to move my left arm. But mind you, I grew up all of my life right-handed. The only hand I wrote with and most of the things that I did with, like my art, was with my right. Mm. And after my injury, I couldn't move that arm at all. I was worried, how can I draw? How can I do anything? I had to learn how to use my left hand, even with its limited mobility. As I was saying, with the spinal cord injury, it was bruised. So the signals that tell your fingers to point didn't work. The signals that tell my hands to reach up to the sky was very muted. So a lot of things that an able-bodied person can do just naturally being born, I wasn't able to.
And were how old?
Mm-hmm. I was 20 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. I am now 26.
And so say a little bit about, it seems to me that emotionally this would be so challenging. Here you are, a vibrant young woman trying to deal with not having the use of your body, full use of your body.
I remember when I was in rehabilitation in Baltimore, I out of nowhere came to this realization that I could not do what I could do. And I just broke down crying. And I couldn't understand why I was crying, because I was laying down, minding my business, and tears just started to fall. And my roommate's mother, she's just like, it's okay. You know, you're going to get through it. You're going to get better. And I knew these things because my pastor would tell me, my mom would tell me, my church family was praying for me, but I could not understand why I felt this deep burden on my heart. And as time went on, obviously, I am very into praying and believing in Jesus. So it took that relationship with my God to understand that I am okay, but not every day is okay. Mm-hmm. And even with those not okay days, I have learned to count it all joy, as the scripture tells me, that no matter what tests come, no matter how I feel, there are going to be those down days that I have, because, like I said, before my injury, I used to just walk to this metro, go to school. I never thought about any of these things, about having to switch between my right hand to my left. And out of nowhere, you're telling me that I can't use the hand that I draw with? I didn't understand that. But as through time went on, I began to appreciate the difference and the ability, the minute ability that I had to grasp onto versus what I used to have before my injury.
Now, you were in the hospital for how long?
I was in the ICU for 1 week. Then I went to just the regular unit for another week. Then I was in rehab for 2 months. And mind you, here's something else. I had to go to a nursing home. Mm-hmm. I went to a nursing home for another 4 months, just to go back to rehab for 2 months again, and wait to go back to the nursing home for another 5-6 months. So I had quite a journey not being home in my community.
And why is it that you had to stay in that nursing home? Why couldn't you go home?
The point of going to the nursing home is because I couldn't go home into my home because, like I said, I'm a wheelchair user. I couldn't walk. Couldn't go up the stairs. The home that I was living in before my injury and the home that I'm currently living in now has stairs to get inside the home, has stairs when you get inside the home in order to get to my main living area, which is the main floor, and there are several steps. At the time, there was no budget, there was no finances to make my home accessible for me. I hope you all can hear me.
Yes.
And at that time, there was no way I could get home, because how could I get into my home unless I had someone to take me up and down the stairs when I needed to? But I also didn't have a bed that was suitable for me. I didn't have the necessary nurses that could take care of me. I was completely dependent.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just ask Annie to step in here. The cost... Mm-hmm. of keeping her in a nursing home versus investing in her being able to make the home modifications, get the support she needed until she could be more independent. There's really no comparison, is there?
No. It's just that there are different streams of funding. There are different programs that fund different types of care. And with the Medicaid program, which is the primary government program that funds nursing home care, it is only care in the nursing home that is officially an entitlement in that program. So even though financially, when you take a step back, it may make more sense, someone has to come up with the funds and the mechanism to help Tyree or an older person that needs help to make those modifications to the home and to coordinate all of those services and that care, even though it makes much more sense for the person and even from a financial standpoint. I think sometimes we're a little handicapped and kind of handcuffed through the nature of the programs and the funding streams that we have.
And Tyree, I remember on the webinar, you shared what happened when you finally got to the point where, well, you could get the home modifications, but there was a requirement that you had to meet that there was no way you could meet in order to get that home modification. Do you recall what you said, and could you share that?
Definitely. When you apply for the Medicaid waiver program, when you're in the nursing home, you get a support planner, and that person is in charge of orchestrating when you go home, where you go home, and how you get there. But in order for you to receive the modifications to your home, you have to be in your home. And so I said, well, the reason why I'm here is because I can't physically get into my home. And then, well, until now, you have to make a way to get into your home in order for us to fully modify your home. What we can give you now is a bed. We can give you a commode. We can give you a shower chair. But we cannot widen your doors. We can give you a ramp. And we cannot give you a stair glide, all of the necessary things that you would need to get into your home with less help, should I say. Even though I have the equipment now, it took about 6 months, or I can't really remember, but I remember getting home in September and not really receiving any type of physical modifications to my home until the spring
of
the next year. So it's weird. It was kind of weird.
yeah, that's crazy. And are there other barriers that you face because of payment and regulations about like that?
Well, here's the thing. I have currently it's called a split-level home, and that's when you go into the home and you're faced with either an upstairs or a downstairs, and you don't necessarily have a place to ride around on the first level when you get into your home. So in order for me to get upstairs, I would have to use my stair glide. And while it is an option, it is not the best option for me. So the finances that I was given only allow me to get a stair glide, but what I need is a complete, wheelchair lift in order for me to independently get into my home. And in order for me to get that, there's a certain amount of money that you're allotted every 3 years. So for the first year, I had to keep in mind that I needed my doors to be widened, I needed an outside ramp, and I needed just some place, like a system, to get me up the stairs. All of that took up the budget. But if I wanted a complete chair lift that would lift me and my chair up again to the stairs, it wouldn't have been enough money for me to get that along with an outside ramp. And to clarify the difference between a stair glide and a chair lift, a stair glide is one of the things you'll see on the commercial where maybe someone who's of age or older person, I don't want to be rude or anything like that, but someone sit on a stair glide and push a button and it would bring them up the stairs. Those are for ambulatory people that don't really use a wheelchair as their main, source of independence. But a stair how can I say, a chairlift is for something, someone who uses a wheelchair, and what they would do is wheel onto this, you know, chairlift, and it will take them up the stairs. Mm-hmm. That is something that I would need, but currently I don't have that. So the financial barriers is learning how to, how can you say, work within the budget you have, but being also grateful for what you do have.
Yeah. So 6 years later, you still don't have the wheelchair lift that you need.
That's another thing. I wanted to get it, but then it's like, do I wait till I get my own place and see if I can use that money to modify? Do I invest in the stair glide knowing stair, wheelchair lift now, knowing that in the next year I would move out and not really have any money for a money in the budget for the new place I'm in? The money can go around every 3 years. So this year I would have been eligible to get stair glide, but even that, the budget is still kind of, it's iffy on that.
So Ani Turner, so Tyree is early 20s. She's confronted these barriers, but you see these kinds of barriers all the time in terms of older people who, you know, as we get older, we have episodes of illness, we might fall, we might have a stroke, whatever. And certainly all of us, I think our greatest wish is to be as independent as possible. And yet, so it's the older folks, and we have a large aging population up here in the Catskills. This is really a common issue, is it not? Even if you haven't been in a car accident.
Yes. For those of us turning 65, we have about a 70% chance of needing help at the end of our lives, and the average length of time that we need a long-term set of supports and services is about 3 years. So, you know, we're living a lot longer, and as you said in your opening, we're kind of able to kind of stay around a lot longer and kind of be saved from circumstances that might otherwise have been our end. But we have longer periods of time where we need help with activities of daily living. And there are both financial barriers and workforce barriers. You know, having the workforce there to help with those kinds of activities can also be a challenge. So both finances and workforce are a challenge. And it's something that we don't think about or plan for quite enough, perhaps. I think a lot of people are under the impression that the Medicare program, once they turn 65, will handle a lot of their physical needs. But Medicare is set up to handle your medical needs. If you're in the hospital or your prescription drugs or doctor's visits, it doesn't cover the kinds of longer-term daily living assistance that you may need as you become frailer and, you know, in that last phase of your life as you need help.
So Altarim has been advocating for changes in policies. What are the primary changes that you'd like to see?
Well, again, I think the major barriers are financing and workforce are two very significant barriers. And we have a kind of a patchwork system of financing for long-term care in this country. Medicare is covering the financial portions. People are paying out of pocket. A lot of times, the vast majority of long-term care is provided by unpaid family and friends caregiving. But, of course, as you said, the population of older people in the U.S. is swelling with the baby boom population aging. We have fewer and fewer younger people, people of working age per older person, fewer caregivers than we did maybe, you know, in the 1960s when Medicare and Medicaid were first created. And Medicaid is really the main source of funding for long-term care services, and it's really for an older person that has spent all of their funding, you know, spent down all of their assets in order to qualify.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's expensive. Most people haven't budgeted enough for it. And, you know, under the Medicaid program, really only nursing home care, as I said, is an entitlement. While there's been a lot of movement recently to help people stay in their homes for home and community-based care and for this program called Money Follows the Person, which is, I think, what Tyree was able to use to help facilitate getting people out of the nursing home, into the home. Those are kind of demonstration programs. They're not permanently built into the Medicaid program. So we have a ways to go.
And describe how that works.
Money.
Describe.
So as a demonstration project?
Money follows the person.
Yeah. So with the Money Follows the Person program, and it goes by different titles in different states, this was a demonstration program that the federal government funded in grants to states to help people who are in institutional settings in nursing homes transition to being able to be more independent and at home. So it's not just the home services, but it's the kinds of things that Tyree was describing, looking at the home environment, what is needed in terms of accessibility and ramps and equipment, and all, navigating all of the programs and the paperwork. And there, you know, it's not a transition that's easily made. And often, if someone has been in a nursing home for a period of time, they may not even have a home anymore, or an apartment, or even, you know, furnishings. And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done to coordinate that. But once a person is in, has those supports in place and has the in-home care and has the proper equipment and all of that, of course it's much better for the person and their family, and it ends up being even cost-effective most of the time as well. So it's a good thing to do if you can arrange the system to help make it happen.
Yes.
And I will say it's a program that has been extended a number of times through legislation, but not all states are currently implementing it. And so it's available unevenly around the country.
And Tyree, from your perspective, so tell us how you're doing now and what your wishes are in terms of your ability to be independent and live life to your fullest.
Definitely. I'm at home now. Like I said, I'm an artist. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
I'm an artist, so I'm working on lots of art commission works where someone would say, hey, Tyree, can you draw this for me? And I'm working on larger scale work. Usually my works would be quite small, but because I'm in a comfortable place, in my place at home, I can buy the necessary things to work on larger scale work. I also have the ability to go wherever it is that I want, being in the nursing home. I wanted to go to church, and two of my church services are at night. But if you're a resident of the nursing home, you had to be at home. Mm-hmm. This way, being at home in my community, I can go to church with my family. I can go to outings. I can go to outpatient rehab and do all the things that help my quality of life, being able to meet new people who share my same disability, and just being able to communicate and help others with this, you know, my experience.
Yeah. Well, and you're an amazing young woman, and you're doing some fabulous art. So share with people how they can see your art.
Thank you. Definitely. I have a website, and it's Art by Tyree, and my name is spelled T-Y-R-E-E. And I also have an Instagram, which is just for my art, and it's TyreeBrown.art, so TyreeBrown.art, and that is just where I display my art and my process. And I also have, you know, prints for sale, anything, you know, should anyone want to support. But if you would like to subscribe to my website, we can keep in contact, because I have some exciting events coming up. I just received a certain amount of, you know, funding to get these types of things done. So
great.
Things are happening.
And I must say that had you been confined to a nursing home or not had the level of independence that you do have in your own home, you probably would not be able to be bringing in your own finances as much as you can right now, and being your creative self, and doing what you want from a religious standpoint. So it is an important story. Your story is so important for people to hear. And I want to just share with you, there is a young man who's quadriplegic in our community, and he was able to get his home restoration, I think, a lot of help from the community. And he's got a heavy-duty wheelchair. And when I drive, leave this radio station, sometimes, depending upon my route, I see him driving his motorized wheelchair down the road. And, you know, he's an integral part of the community. So that's another important piece of this. So thank you so much for sharing your story. And Ani Turner, any last words, and how can people find out more about Alterum?
People can go to Alterum.com and look up the Center for Elder Care Improvement. I would just kind of reiterate what we've been saying. These are issues, long-term care and the ability to stay in our homes with the assistance that we need. These are issues that really we all need to be worrying about and thinking about, and it's very likely that most of us will have to be dealing with them in one way or another for ourselves or for our family members.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my thanks to both of you for coming on today. Tyree Brown, an artist, a fabulous young woman. I wish you the very best, and keep on sharing your story. It's an important one. Thank you so much for coming on to Health Cetera, Tyree.
We're happy. This is exciting.
And for Ani Turner, thank you, senior economist with Alterum. Thank you for coming on to Health Cetera as well. Good to hear you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast of Health Cetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to Health Cetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Dr. Diana Mason and production assistant Kai Volsey.